What do millions of Americans and four U.S. presidents have in common? They all get a better night's sleep in Boll & Branch sheets. Their best-selling signature sheets are made with the finest, most luxurious 100% organic cotton and get softer with every wash. Right now, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with promo code LUXURIOUS with free shipping, free returns, and their 30-night worry-free guarantee. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back, and we're going to take a look, listen to Steve Bannon and Jim Holt on the election fraud. So go ahead and take it away, Style.
There's so much going on that you guys are covering. I could have you on for the whole show, and we just go through the site, the Gateway Pundit. But you got a couple of breaking stories. Tell me what they are.
Yeah, quickly, Steve, we have a new report on the Muskegon GBI Strategies story, the investigation we've been reporting on. This group, as you know, they turned in 8,000 to 10,000 suspect fraudulent ballots into the Muskegon office in western Michigan days before the election, a few weeks before the election. We wrote a report on that. Dana Nessel, the attorney general there, finally had to agree that our reporting was correct. Well, Steve, today we have a second report. We were able to find a second report from the police, thanks to Phil and Braden from the Michigan GOP election integrity team. They found this second report from the city. And what it explains is that in today's report, we found out, Steve, a connection between the Democrat Party and GBI Strategies. And what we found was that during one of the interviews that these police officers had with the workers at GBI, they found out that they were hired in Georgia by GBI, flown to Michigan, where they were reporting to the Empower Michigan organization. Empower Michigan shares the same address as the Democrat Party of Michigan headquarters in Lansing. So I sent a picture of that. It's a old, like, looks like an old mansion. They share the same address there. And so we also found out, Steve, in this report that your viewers will have to read, we found out that GBI was collecting all of these registrations or manufacturing them. And they were taking pictures of these registrations before they were turning them into the clerks in these different counties. And so why is that? Who needs that information? Is it being shared? Where is this going? Do Democrat groups have access to this information? We don't know those answers, but it's very suspect that they're you know, this is just another way that it opens the door for possible interference by Democrats during the election, that they could use these names of these, a lot of, most of them that we saw were bogus registrations. So it's a pretty big deal. By the way, Steve, we started with Muskegon. And we're expanding now. We have evidence that GBI was working in several communities in Michigan, and we have the names of those communities, and we're going to come out with that next. And from there, Steve, we also have information that this was, we know it's been, they were operating in 20 states. We have evidence of their operations in a couple other states. So we're going to be reporting on that in the coming days too. This is a huge, huge find. And again, I think, Steve, they need these registrations to get their the ballots that they create on for election day.
Okay, this is huge, and I want the audience, I'm going to contextualize this for a second. And the reason the Hoff brothers and the entire Gateway Pundit is so important here, there's three elements to this. Number one is the thing itself, what was going on in Michigan to steal the election. The other 20 states, that's number one. And that's the driving focus of the Hoffs, Jim Hoffs and the team's investigation. But there's two other major elements of this. Number one, it's Whitmer, Dana Nessel, and the entire apparatus of the executive branch, from the Secretary of State, Attorney General, that knew what was going on, and Hoff's already proven part of that, but they will prove, knew what was going on, and not just looked the other way, covered it up at the time, number one. Number three, is Bill Barr and his team. Remember, Bill Barr went to Donald J. Trump and said, no, we looked. You know, all my U.S. attorney's offices in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in Arizona, in Wisconsin, and throwing Nevada, all they all looked, and there's nothing. We did a report at the individual attorney generals, which is a bald face lie. Okay, one, there was no report. Two, if there had been, you would have seen this, because this was all reported up. Jim Hoff, the FBI's involvement here. What do we know of the FBI? FBI's known about this from day one. Where is Chris Wray and Bill Barr, FBI reports to him? Where's the FBI in all this, brother?
Well, Steve, that's a great question. This was turned over to the FBI in October of 2020. And just to add on what you just said, Steve, we also know that this group was being funded by Black Pack. It's a huge organization, rich liberals. And guess who they support? They were supporting Jocelyn Benson as Secretary of State and Gretchen Whitmer as governor. Those are their candidates they were supporting. They're also funding this group that's making these registrations that are so suspect. So that's very interesting. The FBI has done nothing as far as we know. It's been 3 years. And when Dana Nessel announced a couple of weeks ago about our investigation, and she had to agree that our evidence was correct, she said that she was going to turn it over to the FBI once again. So I guess this is something they have to do every 3 years or so to make it sound like they're doing something, but obviously nothing has happened.
Whitmer, Nessel, and Benson, remember those names. Jim, how do people get to the great Gateway Pundit? Where do they go, sir?
Yeah, that's thegatewaypundit.com. Our friend...
Alrighty, we are back. And folks, now, again, they keep telling you, Brett Baer and all those, there wasn't any proof. I heard Laura Ingraham say, well, if there's any proof, you know, we're pretty sure there was election fraud. Come on, Laura, where is her head, okay? We've had stacks and stacks, Joe. I can right now probably go down to where we keep our files, our archives down there, and get a two-foot pile stack of just the election fraud alone, okay? And this is all documentation. And so, anyhow, here we're going to take a look. We're going to go over and jump into Finland for a few minutes, Joe, into Finland. And you know how Canada treats Christian pastors? Well, Finland now, they think that's a good idea to treat Christians the way they do. True. And we're going to take a look at that. And also, remember we told you a couple months back about how that they're talking about this DVD they have on Biden, the film on film, him, the corruption, him making deals, so that is going to be coming out sometime between now and Halloween. They said that will be out. But remember, we told you this, what, almost 2 months ago, right?
Right. Okay. It's still a long time to wait.
So let's go over and listen as
you
we
and
talk.
I have known forever that if you want something safe, you get it out in public quickly, or you run a big chance of it never being heard from.
So, all right, very good. So let's go, and we're going to listen to Liz Wheeler, and as she talks about some of what we've been talking about. So go ahead and take it away.
The member of parliament in Finland has been the target of prosecution for 4 years for the crime of posting a Bible verse. This is from Fox News. Last March, people of faith around the world breathed a collective sigh of relief when Pavi Rossinen, a well-respected member of Finland's parliament, was found not guilty by a Helsinki court in a case of legal persecution of her and Bishop Juhana Pojola for their Christian beliefs about marriage. It seemed then that the nightmare was over. It was not. Now Rossinen and Pojola head back to court, Bibles in hand, on August 31st to stand trial once again for simply being Christians. Everyone who values the perseverance and preservation of Western civilization should be gravely concerned by this trial, Fox says. For more than 4 years, Rossinen has been investigated by a rogue Finnish prosecutor's office for the, quote, war crime of agitation against a population group, for criticizing her own church for sponsoring a gay pride parade and writing a pamphlet supporting a biblical view of marriage 20 years ago. The prosecution levied an additional charge against Juhana Pajola, a bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland, for merely hosting Rossinen's pamphlet on his church's website. She faces criminal charges over a single tweet, not one inciting violence, but sharing a Bible verse. And this isn't in North Korea or communist China. It's in a so-called free country. It's readily apparent to all people of good faith that the trial's intent was not to bring about justice by prosecuting Rossinen or Pajola for the so-called war crime of agitation against a population group. In fact, the prosecution had to search far and wide to find a single Finn even offended by the tweet or the pamphlet. No, this case features a deeper acidic agenda to fundamentally undermine the foundations of modern Western civilization, freedom of expression, and freedom of religion. Now, this piece that I'm reading to you was written by Congressman Chip Roy. It's an op-ed published on Fox News. Congressman Roy is exactly correct. This proves my point. There's no such thing as neutrality. And if our values do not prevail, then the other side's values will prevail. What are the other side's values is a question we should be asking and answering in detail. Well, the other side's values are evident by their behavior and how they target us. Their values are exactly the opposite of all of the values that we hold dear, and they don't want any tolerance for our religious beliefs or our principles or even our politics. To the point, can you imagine? Think about this. I mean, we've all done this, actually. Think about opening up Instagram or opening up X, formerly known as Twitter, and posting a Bible verse. I can't even tell you how many times I've captioned a photo on Instagram with a Bible verse or tweeted out a Bible verse. Can you imagine being prosecuted for that? Prosecuted for that because the government of your country said that your belief, your biblical belief, was wrong and illegal, that it was prohibited and that you could be thrown in prison for it. We're in an existential battle. An existential battle, not just against a Democratic Party that we think is stupid or unwise, but a Democratic Party that has been fundamentally corrupted, not just by corrupt politicians, but by a downright evil ideology. And the reason this evil ideology was able to take hold is because of the corrupt politicians who are so focused on building up their own bank accounts by selling influence and peddling access to high-ranking U.S. government officials that they've forgotten that principles even exist. They've surrendered our government to the left. And this is true, by the way, on both sides of the aisle. I'm not just talking about Joe Biden, although on Newsmax, Greg Kelly, reported, I suppose made a claim is probably a more accurate way to phrase this, because he's making a claim that a videotape exists that proves that Joe Biden did profit from Hunter Biden's corruption. He didn't show evidence of this, so I don't want to say he reported on this. We have no evidence that this tape exists, although Greg Kelly is claiming that he has sources who told him that this videotape exists. This is what Greg Kelly said on his show on Newsmax. Take a look at this.
But he hasn't seen the half of it yet. There is an audio tape, I am told, by people in the know, not necessarily in government, not necessarily out of government. I can't say too much. But there is incontrovertible evidence of Joe Biden's corruption that is about to be made public. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen before Labor Day. But it will happen sometime between Labor Day and Halloween. This tape will be made public. I'm not sure by what entity at this point, but once it is heard, Joe Biden will have, well, he'll have only two options. Number one, he will not be able to remain a candidate for the presidency for re-election. It will be over and done with. The only thing that he might be able to do, potentially, but probably not, is remain as president. I am told this tape is that incriminating. And they're worried about it right now at the White House. They know about it. They know it's out there. There may be more than one. And it makes a lot of sense.
So this is clearly.
All right. There you go. We talked about that back a while back. But anyhow, I wanted to hit on this, Joe. The Biden agency, we tried to report on this about three times last week. And every time we try to report on it, something would come up and we'd get sidetracked or we never finish. But anyhow, the Biden agency cracks down on the Constitution and on the Americans, exposes Joe's backdoor tyranny. This is something else that he's been doing, keeping it. And, of course, you're not going to hear about that at any of the fake news media, any of what they call the mainstream, because, again, they're part of the collective. They're simply the Communist Party propaganda machine. That many Americans believe Biden's policies have been violating their constitutional liberties. When we first entered office, Biden pushed a vaccine mandate that might have cost millions of Americans their jobs. Well, it did cost a lot of them their lives.
Jobs and lives.
Right. So Biden's neglect of the southern border has jeopardized communities. He did neglect the southern border. He did what he was told to do. He kept it open.
Yeah, like on purpose. It wasn't neglect. He, is letting it happen. That's his way of just ignoring it, letting it be overrun, and not doing anything to stop it. It's totally on purpose.
Just like what you just mentioned about all the jobs, and he talks about his mention, not to mention the job market.
Right. Aliens coming in replacing the Americans that had lost their jobs are being replaced by foreigners who are probably from countries that are a little more liberal or communist, and it's all part of the revolution.
But all that appears to be the tip of the iceberg of this regime. Aggressive agenda, one of Biden's agencies, surpassed both Obama and Trump's record for revoking American business license. And now Americans are fighting back against a shocking move against fundamental right. Firearms dealers are pushing back against the Biden regime, which has begun to revoke licenses at an unprecedented rate, causing dealers to file lawsuits and or threaten to stop informing federal agents of suspicious buyers in reaction to the perceived government overreach, according to the Wall Street Journal. By the way, those legitimate gun dealers were the ones who were the best ones identifying these people that were stealing and bringing these illegal guns, arms into the country. Of course, we know who was behind most of that, the CIA. According to the Wall Street Journal, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives has revoked the licenses of 122 dealers since last October, which is up from 90 just the previous year. Neither the Trump nor the Obama regimes ever revoked more than 81 licenses since at least 2013. Of course, that wasn't the gun dealers either. Some, but not. So under Joe Biden, the ATF has aggressively revoked the license of firearm dealers across the country. And again, not even Obama tried to shut down business owners this intensely. Trump and Obama only revoked around 80 licenses. But Biden is on pace to revoke the license of hundreds of firearm sellers in this country. Police fear this is going to make it much harder to fight crime. Licensed firearm dealers cooperate with law enforcement. Businesses that legally sell firearms have to follow federal rules. It means someone has to pass the ATF background check before they can purchase a gun. But with more and more sellers getting their license revoked, it means that gun trafficking will rise sharply. People who can't legally buy a gun will merely go to the underground sellers. That means those people who do want to commit a crime, we'll buy a gun without any background checks or paper trail. All you got to do is go to Chicago. You can buy a gun on any street corner out there. And
so
you can.
The only thing it might do is raise the price of illegal guns, but what it's intended, they want, if I wanted to sell you, I know you personally, if I wanted to sell you one of my firearms, I would have to get a federal FL license and all that garbage just to sell a gun to you or to my own son. Let's say I wanted to sell him a gun or something, or a relative, somebody I knew well. They're trying to stop all that, but that isn't the kind of thing that where these people get the illegal guns from anyway. It's not the source. An honest gun owner is not going to sell guns to criminals. He'll sell to friends, people he knows and trusts, but they're not going to go sell them to some thug out in the ghetto in the streets. It's just, they They just build up this fear thing.
All righty. Let's finish that article we started. The major GOP women's group opens door to biological men joining. This is the female rhinos. This is female rhinos. And this is by our old buddy, Peter LaBarbera.
Yeah.
Unlike most.
A lot lately, a lot of stories.
Yeah, he has. Unlike most other media, World News Daily does not use female pronouns for gender-confused men and boys. And we don't do it here either, okay? Thus, a man identifying himself as a trans woman will be referred to using the pronouns he, him, or his, okay? It appears even a major Republican women's group is having a hard time answering the modern culture question, what is a woman? The National Federation of Republican Women faces a backlash among its members, mainly in red states, for stonewalling grassroots campaign to put the organization on record as limiting its voting membership to biological females. But national leadership has rejected a proposed bylaws amendment for consideration at the organization's upcoming biannual conference in Oklahoma City later this month. The bylaws proposed, published in full below, they must be down here. Anyhow, effectively would bar gender-confused men as trans women from joining the NFRW as voting members and leaders. Meanwhile, at least one NF, that's the national, National Federation of Women.
That's where this mess started.
Right. So the state branch has already moved to protect its organizational space for authentic women. You know, we know some authentic women, don't we?
Everyone I know is authentic. Otherwise, I wouldn't be anywhere near them.
Now listen to this.
It's amazing. The Republican Party, if our largest women's organization can't define what a woman is, the Republican Party is in serious, serious trouble.
The Arkansas Federation of Women affiliate explicitly and succinctly defines womanhood in its bylaws as follows. A woman is defined as being born a DNA biological female at birth. Gee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Well, I mean, the article goes on and on, but it's, you know, that's the crux of it. Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, what we're at today.
Fish rots from the head, right?
Yeah. What we mentioned here a few minutes ago about the slow Mad Max. Ed Dowd says a slow Mad Max scenario is unfolding. This is talking about the people that got the vax. Did you see, by the way, that Biden's wife now, after four vaccines, has the COVID now?
Again, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Whoopi Goldberg's had it, all her shots and boosters, and she's got it now the third time.
So here, in a recent dialogue with Mike Adams, known as the Health Ranger, portfolio manager Ed Dowd offered a sobering analysis of America's future that warrants serious attention. Dowd suggests the nation is not on the brink of an abrupt collapse, but rather a gradual, almost imperceptible decline, a phenomenon he refers to as a glacial Mad Max scenario. The issue of vaccine-related health complications is one that Dowd brings to the forefront. According to him, the number of immunocompromised individuals is on a concerning upward trajectory, a development that potentially devastating implications for the U.S. economy. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, remember what she said here on this radio program 4 years ago? Everything, by the way, they just took her license, and we just prayed for her because she's had a minor stroke.
That I missed. I knew that they'd taken her license. I didn't hear she had a stroke. I would think that would have upset her. Her whole life has been helping people, you know, practicing true medicine, you know, helping people, and to have her license taken away, that would, I'm sure, would have caused a lot of mental, emotional anguish.
Yeah, I would say so.
A lot of stress.
Dowd attributes the public's lack of awareness to what he calls full-spectrum deception, an unrelenting propaganda machine operating around the clock. Thus, he argues, is why the majority remain blissfully unaware of the looming crisis. Here, you know, he's talking about, again, you know, people are going to start dying at a much higher rate, okay, from the vaxes, which we've told
which
people.
Which was what the intent was. Those didn't die within 2 weeks. They said that the results will show up in 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. And I had some people I know that said, hey, I had the vaccine. I'm doing fine. I'm doing well. I got bad news for them. You may not be doing fine for long, okay? Some of them died pretty quick. We've had several that within 2 days were gone, okay?
Yeah.
But others, it takes longer, but they're going to go. Anyhow, they're... You have another article before we go to the break.
Yeah, one that just really bothered me. The American College of Obstetrics demands abortion up to birth without limits. They claim killing babies save lives. Yep. Pro-abortion American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists has announced it will nationally support abortion up till birth without limits, and it just is so sad to hear this.
Joe, what would you do? What would you do if you ran into one of those people that belong to that are going to school?
I'd start preaching, you know, heaven sweet and hell hot, that you are, you know, killing off the image of God, and you are damning yourself and others, and all those people you are telling to get an abortion are committing a sin that could put them in hell for life, and you will be held responsible. I would just start there and go on.
That's exactly what you should do. Yeah, and that's exactly what I would do. These are wicked, evil.
Be doing, but the church is too many prissy preachers that are afraid to say something.
Yeah, well, this is what I would do. I would let them know very, very clearly. Look, you know, what you're doing is an evil, wicked, it's ungodly. You know, there is no legitimacy. You have no integrity, no honor. There is no honor or integrity. You are a whore of the devil. That's what you are. What you're talking about, killing these children, God had brought the most harshest punishment on any people for killing the children. And I would tell him, look, you're going to burn in hell unless you repent of this. Now, you might... And remember this, God's not mocked. You can smirk and you can laugh thinking about it, but I'll guarantee you this, okay? When I'm in heaven with no knowledge even remembering you, you're going to be burning in hell remembering what I just said here to you tonight, okay?
Yeah. Well, one line from this group, they made the false claim, and that's me, that abortion is safe and went as far as to claim that it improves and saves lives. My wife and I worked for a crisis pregnancy center and maternity home for many, many, many years. And we saw all kinds of women coming there to the center, to the home, young girls. And we saw so many women whose lives were destroyed when they later on they couldn't handle the fact that they'd had abortions. They turned to drugs, alcohol, gambling. Sex turned into sex addictions because they were trying to run and hide, and nothing would cover the sin. You know, they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know what the answer was.
Joe, their suicide rate is 7 times the average. But we're up against the break. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Boy.
Read his words. Heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every knee shall bow, every ear shall hear him, every eye shall see. Shines from east to west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
All right, we are back, and we're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. We're going to take your calls at 888-677-9673. Nationwide, phone lines are open. Go ahead and finish what you were saying, Joe.
Just the fact that, I mean, I was there personally. I met a lot of these women. My wife met them. I knew dozen different women that were counselors, and the many, many stories of the pain, the agony, the guilt, this lie about, you know, it's harmless. A lot of these people had tried to commit suicide, and we were blessed that most of the women that came to us, we were able to help. But I want to add one other thing. The doctors in claiming that, you know, abortion clear till birth, and they say, well, the, you know, a lot of the women, they have all these reasons they have to have this late-term abortion. Well, there was a pro-abortion group, a very large one, the ANSIRH, and they did a big study. And they said the reason people need these late-term abortions are not so different from why the people need the abortions before the third trimester. And when they surveyed and started asking women, it turned out they got the same answers to the same questions. So they tell you, oh, there are all these different reasons we have to have late-term abortions, when the women who go in for an abortion give the same answer regardless of what stage they're in.
Well, in God's eyes,
major lies broken.
In God's eyes, is there a difference between whether it's 4 weeks or 40 weeks?
No. There is no difference. It's his life. It is, I mean, it's hear a child in his image. It's his. It's the life he created.
Okay, now
he calls it murder.
According to Genesis 9, verses 5 through 7, those women that go in and have their babies killed, do they deserve to die?
That's what the Bible says. God's word said they deserve hellfire.
Right, and unfortunately, people out there aren't preaching that today. They deserve. No. That's what God's word, the Bible says, for those that have killed their children.
Pastors are afraid to preach it because they think women will leave the church, won't come, they won't put money in the collection plate. I remember one lady that had had abortions that turned into a Christian, was going around speaking at churches in different places trying to convince women don't have abortions. And she told the story of this one of the early churches she went into and tried to talk. Nobody had any questions. She was kind of ignored, and boy, thought this was total bust. And she was packing her stuff up in her car after everything was over, and all of a sudden there was a group of women kind of started coming from back behind the parking lot. And she said it ended up with over a dozen women were there and kind of had waited till everybody left and then ran up and wanted to talk to her about how right she was and how they were suffering. And she said, you know, and the pastor's, oh, there's nobody in our church, you know, we sure you can come and speak, but I'm sure there's nobody in our church that's had an abortion. And the more places she spoke at, the more she realized the pastors didn't bring it up, didn't talk about it, and there were always so many women in a church that wanted to speak to her afterward because they were so full of pain. I mean, I could go over stories like this all night.
Alrighty. I remember, too, what happened, and I haven't been able to hear, Style, if there's any callers down the line, so, but anyhow, here, yeah, we'll take a call here in a minute. I remember at one of our pastor's prayer breakfasts, after it was over with, there was a Presbyterian pastor came to me outside as I was starting to leave, and he said, Pastor Sanders, you know, I listened to you, and I agree with everything you said about abortion. I agree with your pro-life stand, but you have to understand.
But, yeah.
He said, yeah, he said, I could not preach that in my church. He said, I would offend so many of the women because so many of them have had abortions. And I said to him, do you think for a minute, dummy, and I used the word dummy, I said, do you think for a minute, dummy, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but I said, if you had been preaching against that horrible, awful sin, you wouldn't have so many women in there committing that sin. And, you know, he looked at me, and he had this strange look, and he said, I never thought of it that way, he said, but he said, you've got a good point. Okay.
The second point is, if you don't tell them that they've sinned, that they need to go to Jesus for forgiveness, they're not going to repent and turn and get forgiveness if they think it's all right, if nobody's preaching to them.
We got to take some fast calls.
Two things wrong, not telling the truth to start with and not bringing them to repentance afterward.
Right. Let's go to Clifford. Clifford, you're in the air.
Yeah, you know, this Jimmy Buffett had a rare skin cancer, which I'm suspicious because the saying that's so rare skin cancers are associated with the shot. And the Greg Kelly Show podcast, he's saying what's going on with all these young people getting cancer all of a sudden. But if you're talking about murder, I was looking at Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 20 to 25. And it says in that two things that I think are interesting. It says, even your lovers will seek your life. But lovers could also be a job you love or something like that. Now it seems like anybody could be out to kill you, you know, with these shots, with the depopulation. Then it says, it's talking, woe to me at the end of that. And it's a woman saying, woe to me. It usually says, woe to them. And that's unusual where it says, woe to me. These murders are wearying me. But at least she knows that they're murdering. But what do you think of those verses?
Well, I think if you go over to Jeremiah chapter 2 and read your verse 34, here's what it says. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocent. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these things. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely the anger will turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. In other words, he's saying, because of these women that have killed their children, that it was, he didn't have to look upon their hearts. Their own mouth condemned them. And then they're saying, well, we didn't do anything wrong because it was legal. Basically, no one said it was wrong. Okay, it was legal. Does that sound familiar?
Right. Kind of like the Biden administration. But notice when you said Jeremiah 4 and 22, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have,
they have
no
now. I got to move on.
That
thanks.
Thanks, like America.
Yeah, thanks. There. Let's. Who do we have next? Okay, who do Timothy? We've got a full board, so we got to make it quick. So okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, good evening, Pastor Ernie. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. And then the whole list of the apostate church. Anybody that has any questions on anything, just look up the list online. Stay informed, stay fearless, and stand fast on the Bible and resist tyranny every single day of your life. The Presbyterian Church is known to ordain women and also people of the LGBTQIA+, and the other 26 consonants and vowels, I guess. They're going to get to all of them eventually.
They add on the end, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm well, saying the Presbyterian Church, along with the Episcopal Church and all the other stuff, that's the Revelation talks about that it's the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's get real, people. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. There is no mediator other than him, no priest, no anything, and even the rabbis. Unless you're a Messianic Jew, you need to get right, and, you know, when the shofar is blown, you better be on the right side of things.
All righty. Thanks, Cliff. We got to move on. Who do we have next? Jeff, you're in there. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, have you heard the latest speech Putin gave?
No.
He came out. He didn't talk about Ukraine. He came out and called out the United States and Europe, saying how evil they are and that God's judgment will be upon them, and so will mine.
Well, there you go. You know, I read a list of the different positions that Putin did compared them with Biden. Putin is pro-life. He's against abortion. Biden is extremely pro-death. Putin says that we need more churches in Russia and people need to attend church. Now, I'm not saying Putin is by any means an angel. Biden says, no, we have too much of that. Putin says sodomy is an abomination. Sodomy is an abomination. And sodomites go to jail in Russia, and Biden says
for the end of this war.
Yeah, Biden says that sodomy is preferable. LGBTQ is preferable over heterosexuality. Everything, you know, if you compare Putin with Biden, Putin does seem like an angel, doesn't he?
Without a doubt. I
mean, yeah.
This is just crazy what's going on here.
And we're using what God's word, the Bible, says. Now, you had those girls there in Russia, who that female rock band had decided they were going to test them, and decided, and even though they were given a warning, they went to jail for what they were referring to. They called themselves,
right.
Yeah.
I know. I remember that. Right. They were just awful,
disgusting.
What about? Can we talk about what's going on in Maui? Or is it too late?
No, we're running out. The whole board's listed, but they got a wall. Okay. Biden's got a wall up there, and they want to hide what's going on in Maui there.
Yeah, they should
and they're,
do.
And they're taking all the billionaires.
Gone.
Hiding the truth, hiding that they won't give out the number of dead bodies. It's all a big cover-up.
This is
like
evil.
Everything else Biden does.
Yeah, and it was used. You know that these high-energy weapons were used, but this
who
is exactly what they do is... This is satanic. It's a sacrifice. It's an offering, sacrificial offering.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. You had that at Ruby Ridge. You had that at Waco. You had that January 6th. This is a sacrificial offering, to Satan, by the Democrats. Their church. They have adopted the church of Satan. But I got to move on, but thanks.
Okay.
We have time for one more call. Who is it? Dean, you've got about a minute. Dean, go ahead.
I'm going fast. So I've been reading on Matthew 23. My confusion is this: Pharisees and scribes relate to me as politics, Democrats, Republicans. How can they enlighten me about what's going on? And what's being said that the Lord had talked about these people that are doing cheating to us. So
now you're talking about Matthew chapter 25?
Maybe. It's actually 23, but it doesn't matter. I just want to try and find out. What are Pharisees and scribes? They sound like they're Democrats and Republicans to me.
No, Pharisees.
Not Republicans.
Pharisees were like the Pharisees were the judicial. They were like the judges, and the scribes were like the paralegals or lawyers of that day. The Herodians were the legislators. Pardon?
We're dealing with that, so the left is running that right now.
Okay, here's what you do. What you're talking about, go to Matthew chapter 25. Go to Matthew chapter 25 and start, and start reading here in verse 31.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. This is where you come up with what is happening today between the liberals, Democrats, and the conservatives. I won't necessarily say Republicans, but the Christians, okay? Right. So you read that. Read that 31 through 45, and you'll have your answer.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Got to move on. Let's go to Joe. How much time do I have? Okay, Joe, you got 6 minutes. I'll give you a shot. 6 minutes to give an invitation. That's a good amount of time.
It is. One of the old hymns that heard recently, why do you wait? There's so many of you out there who are not born again. And sometimes I ponder that question, why? And this song kind of hits it. Why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throng. Why do you hope, dear brother, to gain by further delay? There's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no other way but his way. Do you not feel, dear brother, his spirit now striving within? Oh, why not accept his salvation and throw off your burden of sin? Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death and delay. There are some of the truest words in a hymn spoken outside the Bible. Death and danger and delay. Waiting. God sent his only begotten Son to come down to this earth to take your place and my place upon the cross at Calvary, to die a substitutionary death, to pay the price of our sin debt. When he went on that cross with that sinless, spotless soul, that total innocent of any sin, your sins and my sins were tacked onto him. And that's why God couldn't look at him, because he had become sin for all of us. And he died that horrible death in my place, your place. And then he offers us the gift of forgiveness the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, the gift of joy and happiness. And all we have to do is come to him. Come to him and admit that we're a sinner, that we're a horrible sinner. We need a Savior, you know. Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and by death, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And God, we know, requires the punishment for sin. And what's that punishment? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That sounds harsh, sounds cruel, but he's a perfect, holy God. But he's given us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's Romans 6:23. We have this gift of forgiveness. We have to just go to the Father. And we have to, with a truly repentant heart, call upon him and ask that our sins be forgiven, that we are a miserable, lousy sinner, and we need a Savior. We need to beg for forgiveness, and the Lord will forgive us. And then we can ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of our life, that we give ourselves to him willingly, without hesitation, without reservation, that we want to be a child of the kingdom. We want to take that name, Christian. We want to take our Father's name, be part of the family of God. And we know that that gift that he offers us is eternal. He will give us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, which is our down payment on eternal life. And that down payment comes, we become a high priest. We become our own temple. Our body becomes a temple to him. Our reasonable sacrifice is our body, our life, our work. Think about John 3:16 and 17. For so God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For
one
God
minute.
Sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he loves us this much. He went through all of this for us. He did all that suffering and everything because he loves us that much. The least we can do is accept his gift of salvation and become that born-again believer, that child of the kingdom, a joint heir with him in everlasting life.
All right. So what they have to do, Joe,
our wicked right. ways, right, Father?
Right. What they have to do is they have to pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of sin, make it short. And if they do that, pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of the sin, then ask Jesus to be Lord of their life, all their life, without any reservations, like you said. And God will always honor that. And that you'll become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir to the kingdom.
Amen.
You've
he
got God's
lie.
Word on. All right. Well, we're at that point where we come to every night about this time. And that's when, Joe, we say, good night. And we say, God bless,
God
don't we?
Bless.
And then, Joe, we say, always, always, always,
always.
Keep
fighting
the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.